Jordan Crutes, Score football analyst.
Bias towards offensive line. By that I mean find you an excuse of why an offensive lineman missed the block or why their job is hard.
Chicago Bears legend, six-time Pro Bowl center.
You talk about one of the greatest leaders I've ever been around. From football to the weight room to life, now he's in radio and he has the same passion.
Olin Crutes, every week with Mully and Haw. He probably doesn't like you, but he loves to talk Bears with Mully and Haw.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Anytime we talk to Olin, there is a spirit of giving, and we really enjoy that. He joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Olin. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Happy Victory Monday.
Yeah, it's a glorious, glorious day. They played their best game of the year. Mm-hmm. And they played maybe as bad a team as they're going to play, and that's good. You know, not only did they take care of business, but they helped improve their second-round pick, keep that thing at the top of the second round. So congratulations to the Bears. I thought the quarterback played well. I thought it was a good game all the way around. You can't really complain about it.
No, you can't. And a good thing, you know, as a group that took – has taken a lot of criticism. The offensive line played really well, I thought, right? They protected Caleb Williams really well against that Carolina Panthers team. And I know what everybody would say, but you can only play who shows up on Sunday. So it takes a good team to beat a bad team really bad. And the Bears beat a bad Carolina team, but they beat them convincingly. And that's, you know, that's a positive to watch that football game. The defense, the secondary, after having some holes against the Rams, played really, really good. I thought they were lights out. The Bears pass rush wasn't great yesterday, but the secondary looked like, you know, I can't see the all 22 yet, but it looked like Dalton, you know, he didn't want to throw the ball at all. So coverage was tight, starting with TJ Edwards' coverage on the first third down. And from then on, with Brisker's hit causing the fumble and Caleb Williams, the way he played, I'm sure you guys have talked about his pass to DJ Moore. You know, again, ending a half with points is what you always talk about. You want to see a quarterback do. The next step would be winning a game, obviously, at the end of the game. But Bears offense, Bears defense, complete win yesterday. Fun to watch them play at that level and fun to watch them perform and fun to watch the rookie quarterback who we're all watching continue to improve. Shane Waldron's concepts, everything went well yesterday. There was a drive. I think it was the first or second drive in the second half, and it almost looked like Aaron Rodgers out there, right? It was a spread formation. It was empty formation. It was a second drive. He hit Cole Kmet. He hit Rome Odunze. He hit DJ Moore. He hit Keenan Allen, guys, all in a row for first downs and yardages and compiled yardages. I think that's time they got a penalty by the goal line. They had to move back. They didn't get the touchdown, but it was one of those drives where you're thinking, man, this is the kind of team they can beat.
How much autonomy do you think that Caleb Williams has at the line of scrimmage when they go up tempo? And how much do you think that was responsible for getting things going yesterday? Because it seems like the faster they played, the better he got.
Yeah, it's a good question because we've been watching this, right? We say, man, this quarterback, this young quarterback makes a lot of checks at the line of scrimmage. They seem to give him a lot of responsibility. And as you're saying yesterday, they went up tempo again. They got the offense going. He was in and out of checks. Him and the center had a beautiful conversation one time at the line of scrimmage about what the defense was doing to them and what check they should be in. Him and Coleman Shelton's. Obviously, their connection, their communication is growing. And that's not an easy thing to get on the same page with a new offense, a young quarterback, and a new center. So they're getting there. He's doing a lot, David, actually, at the line of scrimmage, getting in and out of plays, recognizing looks, getting him into pass plays that he wants to be in, getting into run plays that he wants to be in. So it's fun to watch. It's fun to listen to that communication at the line of scrimmage. Obviously, what everyone's running in college nowadays, he's used to up-tempo. He wants to get going. He's comfortable in that. He's comfortable moving that offense along, getting to the line of scrimmage. You know, not a lot of these young college guys are real comfortable huddling up and calling the long play calls that a lot of NFL teams do. So credit to Shane Waldron for running something, concepts that gets Caleb comfortable, gets him moving, gets the offense going, gets the offense up tempo. And especially, you know, Coach Eberflus, I think, talked to it during the week. when you have two new young linebackers and they have to communicate on their side of the ball, right? They had injuries at their two linebacker positions. They had new guys out there calling the plays, getting the defense organized. So I think that was part of the game plan to get the Panthers out there on the field. You saw DJ Moore's first touchdown, miscommunication by them. They drop him on those crosser routes. He comes free, touchdown. So you want to get a defense with a lot of injuries, especially to their play callers, especially the guys that line everybody up. You want to get them communicating, and you want to take the defense coordinator out of the play call.
You know, it was interesting, Olin, because the game didn't start phenomenally. The first pass that Caleb Williams attempted really could have been a pick six, other than I think the receiver got a hand on it, right? It was pushed out of the hands of the defender, but other than that, it would have been a disaster. And then, you know, Chuba Hubbard gets himself going early in that game, and they get a touchdown, and you're just kind of like, wow, like, they're not as sharp as you think. And then they just – then it was like 30 unanswered points or something. I mean, it was just like, whoa, you know. And yeah, I think – yeah, I was just going to say, the pass to DJ Moore at the end of the half, that was like something the Bears haven't done in a while. That was a that put the game out of reach before you got to halftime. It was a great play.
Yeah, it was like – it came out and you're like, okay, they're going to run the ball downhill against this defense that doesn't have any of their starters in the middle, right? I think they had one guy who was a starter, starter on their defense in the middle. And then we threw an out route. And like you're saying, if Keenan Allen doesn't get his hand on that ball, J.C. Horn scores a touchdown, right? And you're like, oh my goodness. And then you see again that the Panthers recognize that they can get Chris Williams, the backup D tackle at nose guard. They do a motion. They get Billings to the three technique. By that, I mean he's outside shoulder to guard. And they put Williams in nose. They come down, they block him, and it's an easy, I think, 38-yard touchdown by Chuba Hubbard, right? So you're wondering, oh, my gosh, like these are things we were worried about, right? We're worried about. And then they come out, and they do what you thought they should have done. And you understand, right, they want to get the young quarterback comfortable, give him an easy out route to Keenan Allen. And you know, only he should throw the ball to where only Keenan Allen can catch it. It was almost disastrous, right? It was almost like the worst start you could think of. It could have been 14-0 to start. But, you know, Keenan Allen, that's why you sign him, right? He makes a great play. He turns into a defensive back, knocks it out of his hands. They clean that all up, go down, score a touchdown, and the rest is history. I mean, there were only a couple plays like that in the first half. There was the 4th-and-1. They got stopped, but Brisker comes back immediately and puts a huge hit on tight end Tremble, and they get the ball right back and score again. So like you're saying, after that, it was an avalanche on the Carolina Panthers. But the start was a little rough, a little scary to watch, and you're a little bit worried, but they got going immediately after that.
This segment with Olin Kreutz is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Olin, one of the biggest players or most important factors about the Bears' defensive line has been the emergence of Jervon Dexter. He had another big game, 4 quarterback hits, and you look at what he's been able to do rushing the passer. It's been impressive. I heard you talking as well about maybe against the run he could be a little more stout at times, and you see that on occasion. But overall, how would you describe his development and how important he's been to this Bears defense?
Yeah, it's been real impressive to watch him grow, and the addition of Eric Washington, working on his technique, working on his skills, him. I heard you guys talking about him committing to be a pro. And you can see it, right? You can see him playing. I always wondered, even when he wasn't playing great last year, if Ryan Poles took him and thought about Chris Jones, right? The great defensive tackle for the Kansas City Chiefs. Same stature, same height, almost same weight. And you could see him overwhelm guys with his length and his size at the point of attack. And he is a big, strong, physical athlete. And I, you know, maybe – with his emergence, they don't have to play left and right anymore. Maybe they can put Billings in those and just leave him at three technique. And like you're talking about, right, the Bears run defense. You're still a little bit worried about that, even from what you've seen yesterday. You go back to the Colts game. The Colts end the game running the ball, right? The run defense, you still worry about it a little bit watching the game. But as far as Jervon Dexter goes, man, he has worked on his craft. He has turned into a professional. He has been fun to watch through these first few weeks of the season.
Olin, it was, and we should tell people this segment with Olin Kreutz, sponsored by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. Visit online or their Elmhurst and Lyle showrooms. Olin, I'm just curious. You saw Tevin Jenkins play despite the rib injury, and now he's got a new injury. He's got an ankle. That's deflating, I think, that he's struggling as much as he is to stay in the game. I also thought it was wild that they went with Bill Murray as the guy that comes in to play. Does that mean that Nate Davis is he just on the pay no mind list? Is he what? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like they didn't even go to him when there was an injury.
Yeah, it's I thought Nate Davis was coming back on the field again. Maybe they don't want to keep moving Pryor, right? So they got to move Pryor back to left guard if Nate Davis comes back on the field. So Murray comes in and plays, which leads you to believe that Nate Davis is really he may be close to not getting a jersey on game day, right? Which is disappointing for the contract they gave him, and we've been going through this with Nate Davis, it seems, now for 2 years now, and the Bears are just saying, they're telling us exactly what they think, right? That it's Pryor, then it's Murray, then it's Nate Davis. So very interesting what's going on there. Obviously, we can guess what's going on there. We've seen this throughout the year. We've heard Coach Eberflus challenge him from the podium, right? Yes. Guys, like when a head coach challenges you from the podium, what you have to realize is that's his last effort to get you going. Right. That's his last time he's challenged you in the building. He's had you in his office. He's met with you about doing things the right way, getting going a little bit. We want to get you on the right path. Everyone's tried everything. Let's try to let the public know this guy's got to play better football. They did all of that. It still didn't work. So now they're on to Pryor and now they're on to Murray, which is disappointing to me because Nate Davis, healthy Nate Davis, playing Nate Davis football, to me, is still their best right guard right now on that roster.
So, Olin, I'm sure you're quietly very thrilled every time that you get two centers into the offensive huddle at the same time. But I wonder, at this stage, what do you think of the Bears' short yardage package, including Doug Kramer? And could you help us understand why they called a clip on him? Mm-hmm. You haven't heard that penalty explained or called in a very long time, it seems. And just describe that play, if you could.
Yeah, the rule is your body has to be in front of his thigh board. As you notice, when he cut him from behind. You can't be behind the defender and cut him in the back of the legs. You have to be in front of his thigh board. So they put those rules in to protect the defensive players. If you guys remember the old Denver Broncos with Alex Gibbs, the outside zone scheme, they were cutting guys on the back of their legs.
Yeah.
To get those guys free, to get Terrell Davis free down the field to cut the backside of the defense. And there was no rules before inside the tackle box. By that, I mean, if you draw a box between the tackles up almost to the linebackers, that's the offensive line box. A lot of things are legal in there that aren't legal anywhere else on the field. There are not a lot of penalties called in there. But that one, they are watching for. He just got to, he doesn't play that position a lot, right, David? He hasn't done that. Go in motion, come back. Cut the line of scrimmage. I mean, the guy you can see when he's on the run, Pat Manley, and Lawrence Holmes are talking about, he's an incredible athlete. The speed he moves at, you can see all the numbers he had at the combine where people talked about how fast he ran his 40, how well he did in a lot of the agility drills because he can really move out there, man. But he's just got to get, two or three more steps in, get in front of the defender instead of cutting him from the back. As far as the short yardage package goes, I like it. I like you put stress on the defense when you put big bodies on the field. We were hoping yesterday, Pat Manley pointed out, we were hoping we'd see Kramer in the flat for a touchdown pass, right? But we didn't get to see that. So I like the package, like the fact that you line up and say, look, man, we're going to run God's play here. We're going to run power roll. Yesterday, they hit it a little bit by putting Kramer at the wing. They put him in motion and then hitting the end guy. But I really like it. It's an attitude play. It's a culture play. This is who we are. We're coming downhill at you. Worked yesterday against the Panthers. Worked last week against the Rams. I really enjoy that style of football.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about their identity and the balance they've seeking. That's part of their identity. They now have a kind of a tush-push play, some unique thing that they can do that other teams aren't doing. So I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm. It is good. It is good. And it's like you, like we've talked about when we talked about moving Tevin to right guard. You have to have something you do in those situations that everyone knows you're going to do, and it doesn't really matter. We're going to get the first down here anyway. We're going to get those chains moved, or we're going to get a touchdown here by the end zone. And a lot of that, of course, is the big man Darnell Wright over there at Pryor on that side of the offensive line, and putting Mercedes Lewis next to them. That's quite a tandem coming off the ball, coming downhill there. Now, I know they get stopped on that running back to Roschon Johnson, a dive, kind of like a fullback dive. They're putting Roschon at fullback, but that wasn't God's play. That wasn't power roll. Now guys have to load up on that play, and you'll see some play actions off of that.
Olin, I know that you have high standards for this. So did what transpired in the end zone, the little scuffle, qualify as a fight to you? And what did you think of it?
Well, I think that if the Carolina Panthers head coach is going to show up in a medium shirt, obviously they want to start a fight during the game. He looked like a bouncer, so you would expect a fight to break out in the end zone. Look, when I'm watching that, it's just teammates trying to back each other up, right? You got each other's back. That's also how you build culture, right? You don't want to be as dumb as it is, as stupid as it is. I think Bielma did a great job explaining, like, what the hell is going on here, right? It's really what you're thinking, but you don't want to be the guy on film doing nothing, right? You don't want to be the guy not backing up your teammates. As much as God's play builds culture, so does jumping in there, backing up your teammates. J.C. Horn, looked rough day for the Carolina Panthers. A lot of frustration. A lot of their best players are out, right? He talked about D.J. Moore not being there anymore. Yeah. He's got a backup center running at him full speed. He's got to take that on. Then he's shoving him. Then he shoves him back. And then someone gets punched in the back of the neck. Then someone gets hit. Nobody got hurt. Everybody dusts each other off. Shake hands. Let's go to the locker room. Game over.
That's so much fun. I think that it must be difficult to be on the Carolina Panthers and your quarterback isn't what you thought he was, and you trade away good players and you're looking at all. I mean, the trade stuff is everywhere. I'm sure that will eventually sort of get to you, especially if you're a guy like him who was going against DJ Moore in practice all the time. It just made sense to me. I'm wondering why the officials don't call late hits in this case, it was kind of an out of bounds hit on the Bears quarterback, Caleb Williams. Did that look like it should have been a penalty, or was he still in the air and he's an open target and you take a shot at him? I just felt like, maybe they don't respect him yet, but you got to protect the quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, in today's NFL, everything's a penalty, right? So you're shocked whenever you see a hit and the flags don't come out. Right. So, and that did seem a little bit late. We went through this with Justin Fields a while ago. Now,
right,
Caleb's a different runner than Justin Fields. So we've been saying this for 2 years. It just seems like the Bears quarterbacks don't get those calls. Hopefully, eventually we do, because like you see in a lot of these games, with the Chiefs and with Tom Brady before and Aaron Rodgers, they're game changers, right? They're game, these roughing the quarterback calls. If you start getting them, they really are game changers. There was one, man, last night Justin Fields got hit. He got that call. That was a big hit, right? So calls like that, I thought it was close. I thought he could have threw it. He could have not threw it. But you'd like to see eventually the Chicago Bears start to get calls like that, because, like I said, they move the chains. They're free 15 yards, and you got to take them.
Great stuff, Olin.
Thanks, Olin. Really appreciate
it, guys.
Have a good week.
That is Olin Kreutz. Does a great job. A lot of fun. What do you think about that? Do you feel like the quarterback's getting shots that he shouldn't?
I don't necessarily. I thought that was questionable, and I wouldn't have quibbled if they had thrown a flag. But it took me back to a week earlier when I thought that Matthew Stafford wasn't. I think he had a couple plays he could have been, he could have been roughing the passer.
Yeah,
I'm surprised at how much. So I thought they seem to be not as protective of quarterbacks this year,
right?
And I think that was just another example of that. So I think you could have called it, but I don't know that you want to get to the point where you're hoping that everyone is more sensitive to just guys falling over and flags being thrown.
You know, Josh Allen took a monster hit
in
that game, banged his head.
That was bad.
I'm just saying, I think you ought to protect the quarterbacks.
I do too.
And the league's better when the quarterbacks are in it.
And but it, haven't you noticed just and it's unofficial, it's just anecdotal, you know, just like observational.
I'm glad
like,
you brought that up. Matthew Stafford, they there could have been a flag at the end of the game, and that could have made the interception null and void and given him another 15 yards.
So there's been a couple questionable decisions on quarterback plays that I thought, well, is this a league-wide, you know, trend? I just don't know.
It's just, and Olin's on it. He's a different runner than Justin Fields. Justin Fields would not get those calls because the idea was he had turned into a running back.
He looked like a running back.
And he did.
Yeah.
But that's not what Caleb Williams is doing.
No, he looks like an athletic quarterback.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I do think there's a difference. 312-644-6767. Back with your calls. It's Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Us getting comfortable, us, you know, seeing what we can do, type of pass you can throw to him. You know, he made a couple awesome passes or catches this week in practice, and just building the confidence and trust between each other, and trust in this offense between everybody, offensive line, running backs, protection, the routes, and what depth they're running it at, how many steps, and things like this, things like that, going through reads and a bunch more. So just we need to keep building, keep going. Obviously, great win, but definitely not settled on this.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Caleb Williams. And I love his attitude. I have enjoyed every news conference I've heard from him.
Yeah, seriously. Because it's that easy confidence, right?
Yep.
And what you saw yesterday on the field was a quarterback increasingly becoming in command of everything offensively. That command, that confidence, that control in the passing game. You're seeing that, Mully, and I think it's also not just because the Bears scored 36 points and his numbers are what they were, but because you just see the kind of growth and maturation in a young quarterback who feels more comfortable, as he pointed out, comfy Caleb, and that's what you saw yesterday. The Bears believe in him as much as you should, and that, I thought at the end of the first half it was key.
Mm.
Remember, right after the Brisker fumble, it was like 2:49 left. He, you know, they go down and they score, and then that was the Doug Kramer Swift touchdown.
Yeah.
Anyway, then they get the ball back. They get the ball back with 55 seconds left. How many times in the past umpteen years,
right,
do the Bears get the ball back 55 seconds left at the half, and you're like, okay, call it a day, go in. They've got a lead.
Yeah.
They're comfortably ahead. And what did they do? No, they don't sit on a lead. They don't go in and regroup. They gave Caleb Williams a chance to lead his team down the field, and that's where he made the connection with DJ Moore, and they go into halftime laughing, and it feels like it's 27-7. They weren't content. They weren't complacent. They were aggressive, and they trusted their quarterback, and that tells you how much you should believe in Caleb Williams as much as they do.
Yeah, I have no argument about that. I totally agree with what you're saying. I think it's that was the key to me. I mean, you know, you're watching the game, the Bears come back, now they're in charge, and you're thinking this is as good a half as we've seen in a while. But that was the difference to me in the game, the fact that they could get the ball, go down the field and strike like that and hit that pass. It was just a fantastic finish to the half. There's no doubt about it. It was, and then you know, all of a sudden the Panthers with 30 seconds left are coming down to get a field goal, but no go. So that's good. It was good. All
DJ
the way
Moore
around.
Made a terrific catch.
Yes,
Colt Kmet made a good catch on a ball that Caleb you know, lofted to him.
Yep.
The downfield passes were more accurate, but the receivers did help him out. And that's what happens when you have a receiving core that we've talked a lot about. I like the way that they incorporated Roma Dunze into the equation.
Yes.
They had I like the way that Caleb Williams controlled things at the line of scrimmage. That, to me, is as impressive as anything that he does, Mully. Don't you think that even – Olin alluded to it. We don't really know what the calls are, but it does seem as if he has a lot of – they give him a lot of responsibility.
It's kind of extraordinary that he seems to be calling as many things as he is. And I thought, and Olin brought it up, that was hilarious when he is when he is over center and the microphone's on and he's like calling a play and he's pointing out stuff, and all of a sudden you hear Coleman Shelton screaming, you know, we got to let's take a listen.
Make the offense one-dimensional.
Andy, Cubs, 32, 32, 32. We got fire, man.
I know.
Here we go, 32, 32.
Apparently you have a fire, Kenny.
Sounds like it.
We have a blanking fire, man.
We have fire, man.
Calling the authorities.
He turns his head and he's yelling to Caleb that they're coming on a blitz. His response
don't call
is,
that.
I know.
I know. Yeah, and that was where I think they threw to Odunze. And then he knew
fire.
He was checked into
was
the right play, as
hilarious.
It turns out. And it
was
funny.
Hysterical.
That's the kind of communication, I guess, they're talking about. But it was better. The communication was better. The execution was better. Everything felt better and looked better yesterday for the Bears.
You know what it reminded me of? I'm sure you thought the same thing of when a rookie Kyle Orton is trying to point out something and Olin slaps his hand because I've already made the adjustment.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Pipe down, kid.
Yeah.
We got it
We
here.
Got a blanket fire.
We know what we're doing here.
32.
That was funny.
Yeah, that was great.
Good
stuff.
Moment.
312-644-6767. Let's try Don. Don's on the west side. Hey, Don.
Good morning. Yeah, I think that it was a great win because just simply because we won because of Caleb Williams and him not just being a part of the game. You know, mm-hmm. we had to win that game handily in order for me to say, okay, there's, you know, some real progress. Because, I mean, you can't just go and battle with a team like that. You know, good teams is going to get them out the way respectively. You know, it's an NFL team, but they're worse off than what we are. And then, you know, this is a team that we fleece. So, of course, it's all kind of, you know, underlying things that don't really matter, but reason that you should still dominate a team like that. So with the game itself, you know, Caleb, you know, still calling his checks. He's looking more fluid, looking a little bit more better. Of course, it's still the Panthers. But I just feel like when we get to the good teams, you know, this is good. Well, I don't want to say practice because that's disrespectful, but I want to say this is, you know, this is good for when we get to those good teams. At least we'll have our feet wet and we'll be ready. But okay, thank you guys.
That's
thanks,
great
Don.
Stuff, Don. He's so right about
he's
that.
He's right.
Yeah.
You have certain teams on your schedule that you have to assume you can beat, and you have to take advantage of these opportunities because the schedule will get tougher once you get into the division, which has become the toughest in football. Molly, I thought Shane Waldron had a pretty good day after a slow start. The one call I thought was very interesting was right after the fumble that I referenced, the
yes.
Tommy Tremble hit, that he called. You know that you get a sudden change situation
yes.
and you get the Panthers coming onto the field to play defense. They're going to be revved up. They're going to be like, okay, we got to do this. We have to stop. We have to hold them. And they're going to rush the passer, come after the quarterback, and he called a screenplay. And it was perfectly called, perfectly timed, and DeAndre Swift went like 42 yards, I think,
yes.
with the ball. And not only did it help take advantage of a running back that was hot in the first half, but it also took advantage of a pass rush that if they were going to ever pin their ears back, it was probably then, and it was a really good call.
It was an excellent call, and you know, when you get in that sudden change moment, you want to get down to the goal line. You want to get, I mean, you want to take advantage of it, and that's exactly what they did there. And then it got kind of complicated where you thought Caleb had a touchdown run and there was a penalty called on the Bears, and then there was another penalty that was on the Panthers. But, of course, you know, I heard Olin on the postgame talking about it, and I always am amused by it because it's been a long kind of standing thing for him where – he believes that if you get half the distance, so if you get into the end zone and you think that Caleb has scored a touchdown, but no, we're going to go back because we got this penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And then they commit a penalty, and instead of getting whatever, how many yards it's supposed to be, you get half the distance. And that kind of drives them nuts.
It is kind of strange.
It is weird.
Yeah. It's officiating math.
It is.
Does it really compute?
No, because it's the math doesn't add up.
I was waiting for an explanation of that.
Five out of four experts think it's goofy.
Did you like the Kenny Albert, Jonathan Vilma pairing in the booth?
I didn't mind it. I'm now.
I like Kenny Albert.
I was going to say, I now think of Kenny Albert as a hockey guy.
I do too, kind of. But you know what I liked about that?
I know
you're gonna not find this surprising at all. But when they got they unearthed the little nugget, I didn't know that Caleb Williams played hockey. And he learned that he strengthened his ankles with skating, and he tried it, and thank goodness he didn't stick with it. I mean, there's one superstar hockey player in town's enough. But Caleb Williams picked the right sport, but I didn't know that about his past.
Hey, by the way, we have to talk before we get out of here. We don't have to do it now, about the idea that Connor Bedard is fighting mad and is willing, is not going to take it anymore.
I love that.
As hell. That, let me tell
you,
I loved about that wasn't that he turned around and hit a guy. It's that he got into a fight and the entire team jumped in. Hey, that's our guy.
That's our guy.
And they jumped
in
immediately.
Yes, I loved it.
And that was the best thing that happened.
And you know, okay, to a lesser degree, because that was a big highlight of the weekend. Keep in the back of our minds, because that is how a team defends a superstar. You saw a little bit of that yesterday when Caleb Williams took the hit on the sidelines.
Yes.
You saw some, I think it was Bill Murray might have been the guy who rushed to the scene of the alleged crime. And you want to defend your guy, especially somebody who means as much to the franchise as those two guys do to their franchises.
Right.
And
so everyone jumps in if anything happens there.
And if Caleb gets hit hard out of bounds, like you saw with in the game in Houston.
Yes.
You know, that was also a good response. You want to have a rapid response time if your superstar's getting picked on and your quarterback's on the ground.
Let's get to our buddy John. He's in Joliet. Hey, John.
Good morning, guys. V-I-C-T-O-R-Y. Victory, victory. That's our cry. I wish I could bottle up the energy that we had in that stadium. I'm sitting in 151, first row. And you're watching Williams checking receivers, looking downfield, and he's moving. But the only thing that concerns me is he doesn't know how to slide. And I was really nervous. When he did go down, he was going down head first. But other than that, it was a picture-perfect day, a beautiful atmosphere. The Bears just, they showed up. But I have a question for you, Mr. Hall. When you played defense for Ball State, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
Long time ago.
Watching these NFL players flying all over the place and laying the wood on those Panthers, I can't even imagine how long it takes for someone to recover like that. If you could just explain a little bit on, you know, the recovery of an NFL player or even a college player, what they have to go through, because, man, that's got to take a lot out of the body. And it was beautiful. I loved it.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, you were a renowned cheap shot artist. Right?
Exactly. I led with my head. That chirp, chirp. Very. And so you were doing.
I led with my head.
Yeah.
You don't remember a thing.
And I don't remember a thing. I couldn't tell you what that felt like. But I do say this. You know, these guys are the best athletes in the world. These guys are obviously physically fit, and so their bodies are conditioned to recover from that kind of collision. It's a car crash every play. Yeah. I don't want to pretend to know what it's like to be an NFL defensive back. Playing defensive back in the Mid-American Conference back in those days and playing defensive back in the NFL now, two very different things. But I do think this, when you start to get that kind of contact, this is what I can relate to, and you're a defensive back like Jaquan Brisker or whoever, Kyler Gordon, you start to crave it, and you miss it when you don't have it. You start to crave it, and so your body becomes conditioned to it. You love the idea of a hard hit like that. You want the contact and the physicality of a collision. And you crave it because it makes you feel it's such a high. It's an adrenaline rush when you make a tackle like that or when you have a collision like that. So I can relate to that, but I can't relate to what it's like to do that on every single snap.
I got to tell you, if you ever get an opportunity to walk with a chain gang at a high school game, you won't believe how physical that brand of football is at that level. And then think about, you know, trimming it down to the college game, and then think about the number of players on the number of teams in college, and then you get to the pros. Give me
at every level, it kind of just accelerates.
It just gets,
it's like driving a faster car.
Yes. All right. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Oh, yeah, it's a glorious Monday. A lot of fun college football, some good baseball, but really the Bears winning just kind of seals that it was a successful weekend.
Bears win, Bears win. Good day for DeAndre Swift. Mm. He was somebody that responded to the critics, and I think that he went out on Sunday with a purpose, and he wanted to – it seemed like he had a little bit of an edge, and it seemed like he did not want to come out of the game when they brought him out of the game.
Yeah.
And he thought he was in the end zone. They looked at it. His knee was down.
And then they brought in Roschon Johnson for the touchdown, which, God bless him. I mean, he did a great job. But Swift seemed miffed. He didn't seem pleased when he had to come out of that game.
I kind of got it.
Oh, I totally get it.
I kind of get it. I don't like this idea where one running back gets you down the field and the other one gets to score and celebrate. I understand why the straight line running and all that stuff that we say when we talk about Roschon Johnson and his 10 carries for 25 yards. But if I'm DeAndre Swift, I'm like, hey, come on.
I got to tell you, I thought that it's almost like the rewards you get for everything you do. You want to make sure that if a guy is that big a part of it, that he's taken care of it's like if two guys get a sack, it's why you get half a sack, because you were as important to it as someone else. It's a good thing to reward people.
I also think it's good for the room. It's good for the locker room. It's good for morale.
That's what I'm saying.
Because he's somebody that, despite his limited contributions, maybe the first couple weeks because of the struggles with the offensive line, he has been big the last couple. And you like to see that rewarded with a touchdown, not just because of somebody's fantasy football team benefiting from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you have Roschon Johnson, you're in good shape. Do people have Roschon Johnson on their fantasy football team?
I think they're going to pick him up.
Okay.
I'm not kidding. I mean, if you are a short yardage specialist and you are part of the whatever goal line, what are we going to call it?
The jumbo package?
Yeah, but we need something better. We need something
snappier. With the mini fridge, the mini fridge package.
Yeah.
The refrigerator packet, the refrigerator.
Yeah.
We'll work on that. The ice tray, something like that.
We'll figure out something.
The mini fridge.
Who will score the touchdown first or next? Mini fridge or DeAndre Swift?
So you are convinced now that because Doug Kramer can block in that situation, they're now going to throw to him and they're going to hand him off the ball?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm convinced. I'm convinced that they have a play like that in the playbook. Convinced at some point in time – Shane Waldron might get a little hair down a little bit.
I mean,
lampshade like, on his head.
Again,
let's call that one.
Again, maybe when you bring in your backup quarterback to take a knee, you could take a second and throw him a pass in the flat and let him run out of bounds. If that's what you want to do. I would not be doing that in a close game. All you need is a fumble down by the goal line, David, and that would cure you of ever running.
Let me remind you of one thing.
The cuteness.
Jaden Daniels, the quarterback to whom we compare Caleb Williams a lot. I believe his first career touchdown pass was to an offensive tackle.
Yeah.
To an offensive tackle.
Okay.
Tackle eligible.
Okay. So, I mean, that's great. And I know all you want to do is just keep saying that Jaden Daniels is the generational talent.
No, I'm not saying that.
That's what you're saying. You're obsessed with it.
I'm obsessed. That's why I brought it up.
And Justin Fields lost to the Dallas Cowboys.
He did last night.
Yeah, you don't bring that up, do you?
All you want to talk about is do that after DJ Moore. We need to get to that conversation because
we're gonna get to DJ.
We have plenty of time to break down what happened to the Pittsburgh Steelers after a weather delay.
God, it was a long delay. DJ Moore next. Mully and Haw on the score.